Now we're continuing with Midot Lamed Hey. We're in the middle of the second parak, Mishnah Gimel. Lifanim mimenu soreg, gavoa asarat vachim, okay, v'shlosh etzrei pratzot hayuvo sheparzu machei yavan. Chazru v'gadrum, v'gazru kenegdam shlosh etzrei shachavayot. What does this mean? If you look at your map, the soreg, if you see the chel we talked about was in the border, right, it was on the whole border around. Now we're going to see there was a soreg that went around the chel. However, there's different opinions about where the soreg was. Again, according to the map, it goes around the entire thing, and it was sort of like a gate. You see there's little three lines at the top there? It was like soregim, okay, the way we have, what do you call those? Soregim in English?
Bars.
Kind of like bars, okay, around. Some people say that the soreg wasn't like that. It was on the eastern side. It was one, like a wall that went from Mizrach to Ma'arav, okay, and it was just a straight line rather than going around in a rectangle here. Now, there were 13 pratzot that the Malchei Yavan kind of ruined the soreg in 13 places. You could see why it was protected, right? And then they fixed up those spots. And because of that, there's 13 ishtachavayot. Okay, there's 13 places where people bow down. Now, there's a debate about what this means. Does this mean everyone who comes in is supposed to bow down in 13 places? Is it specifically the 13 places where they broke the gate and then we fixed it? Is it that if you go to one of those places and that's where you go in, then you bow down right there? In other words, if you happen to walk around near where the portzot are, is that where that's where you bow down? Not that you're supposed to bow down in 13 different places, but those are spots that were designated for bowing down. Again, there's a lot of different interpretations. Lifnim mimelo hachel, okay, in that, right, if you go in closer, right, so again, either that's a rectangle and then that's a rectangle right within, or if you're coming in from the Mizrach, from the east side, so first you get to the Soreg, and then further in to Har HaBayit, you get to the Chel. Here we start to go up now, okay? We start to have stairs leading up the mountain. So the Chel is Eser Amot, the width of the Chel is Ten Amot, okay? So, right, it's all around, but the width of the whole Chel in each spot is Ten Amot wide. And Shnei Mesrei Ma'alot Hayusham, there were 12 steps there. Rum male chatziyama veshulcha chatziyama. Okay, everyone is chatziyama in height and chatziyama in right, the step itself. Right, the part you step on is half an amma, so it goes half an amma up, half an amma in. Kol amalot shayusham rum male chatziyama veshulcha chatziyama. All the steps. Now we're going to have one of these things where it repeats. We're going to have everything in the mikdash was like this, except for some exception. Okay, we're going to have a whole slew of them. All the steps that were in the mikdash went up an amma, half an amma, and in a half an amma. Chutz mishel ulam, except for the ulam, where we're going to see the ulam had different. There was a step that was the steps were. I think all the steps suddenly were an amma. We'll see, or there was one step that was an amma. I forget exactly. We'll see later. What does this mean? We're already up, okay? Higher. If there were 12 steps, each a half an amma, 6 amot above. Floor level, ground level. Kol ha'ptachim shayusham govhan 20 ama v'rochban 10 amot. Every entrance area, every gate, there was an entrance area that was 20 ama by 10 ama. Okay, 20 ama height, 10 ama width or opening. Chutz mishel ulam, except for the ulam that was 40 ama tall and 20 ama wide. It was a much bigger entrance area. Kol ha'ptachim shayusham hayu lehem dlatot. All of the gates or all the openings had doors. Chutz mishel ulam. The ulam only had a curtain. What's interesting is all of them had doors and curtains. Not just doors, they all had curtains. If you look in this book, you'll see there's curtains everywhere. But this, the ulam, only had a curtain, not a door. Kol ha'sharim shayu sham hayu lehem shkufot. They all had a mashkof, a doorpost, meaning two side posts and one at the top. They were all rectangular shaped. Chutz mishel tadi shayu sham shtei avanim mutot zo al gav zo. Most people assume it's like an upside down V, although there are different interpretations about it, that the gate was an upside down V shape. Kol sharim shayu sham. Again, we're just going in the slew of all things that were like this, except for something else. Kol sharim shayu sham nishtanu liot shel zahav. All of them were updated at a certain point, and they turned them all into gold when they had wealth, right? When they first rebuilt the Beit HaMikdash, they didn't have a lot of money. When they finally became more wealthy, they changed them all to gold. Chutz mi shari nikanor, mipnei shenasa behem neis, because of the miracle, they wanted to keep shari nikanor. and therefore left them. B'yeshomrim, no, it wasn't because they wanted to keep them because a miracle had happened. The reason was mishum shenechashtam matziv, because the color of it, okay, kind of looked golden in the sun, okay, and because of that, they left it. Mishnah Dalet. V'kol ha-kotalim shayusham. Again, we're continuing. All the walls that were in there, okay, there were these openings. Now, when there's an opening, that means there's a wall above it. So all the walls above, those openings, hayu gvohim, were very tall. Here, all of a sudden, they don't give you a measurement of how tall. Chutz mikotal ha-mizrechi, except for the eastern wall, shakoen sorefet ha-para, omeh berosh har ha-mishcha, umitkaven beroeh bepitchol shalechal, bishat ha-sayat ha-dam. If you remember, when the Kohen stands there doing the shreifa para, it says about him that he has to do it al nochach pnei ol moed. He has to sprinkle the blood toward ol moed. Now, what's ol moed? Ol moed, and when it's not the mishkan, is the hechal. And since he can't, the whole issue is if you build the wall high, then right. He won't be able to see from there because right. What happens as we go up with all the steps? Okay, the height of the hechal is going to be 22 amot above. Where the floor is, okay? It's 22 amot above ground level. Okay, I'm not going to go into all the math, but we already started. We'll see as we go on. If he's standing, if the entrance to the Mizrach entrance is 20 amot tall, because all the openings were 20 amot, and then you build a high wall, he needs to have vision right. at 22 amas. So what you have to do is you have to build a very small wall there so he can see. When he's standing on Har HaZeitim, he can see from above that wall to be able to see the entrance of the Hechal, which is 22 Amot above. So because of that, that wall was dafka low, and then he'd be able to see right through there. Didn't leave him a lot of window to see, but, right, how exactly, so I'm not 100% sure, but it sounds like he'd be able to see. Ezrat HaNashim hayta orech 135 al rochav 135. So this was a big square, 135 Amah by 135 Amah. B'dalad l'shakot hayuba, b'dalad mikso'oteha. Shamem mem ama. Okay, what happened? What does this mean? There were four big rooms. Each room was in each corner, and they were 40 ama by 40 ama each room. The lo hayu mekurot. They didn't have a ceiling. V'kachem matudim liyot. And also in the future, they won't have ceilings. Shneamar, it says in Yechezkel. Again, we keep talking about this future Beit HaMikdash that's quoted in Yechezkel. V'yotzienu el ha-chatzer ha-chitzona v'yavariruni el arba'at mikzoei ha-chatzer. That you're going to bring me into this big outer courtyard, and you're going to take me on into these four rooms in the corners. V'ineh chatzer b'miktzoa chatzer, and there's each, right? Each one has a room. V'gomer, etc. Ba'arba'at miktzoot, in each of the four corners, ha-chatzer chatzerot k'turot. What does it mean, k'turot? What does it sound like? Ashan, like the smoke, it's like from lahaktir, to burn. V'ein k'turot, ela she'inam mekurot. So they say, what does that mean? It means the smoke rises. It means that the smoke rises and goes off, meaning it's not covered. U'mah hayu meshamshot. So what was the purpose of these four rooms? Dromit mizrachit, okay, the southern, southeast. Ki hayta lishkat ha-nizirim. What would the nizirim do there? Shesham ha-nizirim mevashlim et shalmehem. That's where they would cook the meat that they ate of the korban shlamim. U'megachin et sa'aran u'meshachim tachat hadud. Okay, they would shave their hair there. If you remember, he can't cut his hair until he brings his korban. And then they would burn the hair in the fire there. So they would burn both their shlamim and the hair in the fire there. They darshan, it's supposed to be in the same place from the psukim. Mizrachit tzfonit. Now we go to the north side, on the northeastern side. Hiyata lishkat etzim, right? These are the two lishakot that are farther away from the azara. And that would be Lishkat Eitzim. What would they do there? Shashama Kohanim Balei Mumim. If you remember, Kohanim Balei Mumim can't go into the Azara. So they stay here outside, but they give them a job. They're still Kohanim. They should still work. Let's give them some job to do. What would they do? Matzli'im Ha'itzim. They would go through all the trees, that was the logs that were supposed to be used that day on the Beit HaMikdash, and they would check that there were no worms inside them. Because if they found a tolat, it would be pasul. You couldn't use it on the mizbech. So their job was to check. Sponit maravit, if you remember, they didn't keep them all there. They stored them in a different area, but they would bring them there for the day, what they needed for the day, and then they would check through them. Sponit maravit, yaita lishkat ha-mitzora'im. Right, on the northwestern side, you now have the mitzora'im. Why were the mitzora'im there? If you remember, they have to put their hand in, and their toe, and their ear, and then the kohen has to put blood on it, and that has to be in the azara, but they're not allowed in the azara, so they're right up against the azara so that they can do it. Tzvonit maravit, maravit dromit. Now on the southwestern side, Amar Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, shachachti ma hayta meshameshet. Oh, this one I don't remember. Abba Shaul Omer, Shashama Yunotnim Yayim Beshemen. Luckily, someone else remembered. They put the wine and the oil for the libations. Hiaitani Kret Lishkat Beit Shamnaya. Okay, if you look on our map, it's actually called something called Beit Lishkat Hashmanim. Okay, that's just the Aramaic for it. Bechalakai Tabirosha. Now we get to the Ezrat Nashim. Now, why do we always think about the Ezrat Nashim as the women's area? Besides, it's called Ezrat Nashim, but there's the famous story at the Simcha Beit HaShoeva, the first mechitza that they put in. Okay, so now we're going to learn Chalakai Tabirosha. The Ezrat Nashim originally was just flat. There was no wall or anything, or it's a bit of a debate exactly how you translate Chalakai. Maybe it had a wall, but there was nothing above the wall. Vihikifua Kitzotzra. They all of a sudden built this balcony and they put the women in the balcony. Okay, there was actually a few stages that led to this. They tried other things and it still was creating problems between men and women integrating or being distracted in the Simcha Beit HaShoeva. And therefore, they put the women at the top. Okay, so they wouldn't be mixed with the men. They put in, okay, so some people assume it was just either a balcony. Some people say there was like a crisscross kind of thing, the way our mechitzot are built, and it's probably based on this. Right. Now, they put, you know, like a ma'akeh, right, they were up on top. It makes sense they would put some sort of border there so that they wouldn't be able to fall down, but also so that the men couldn't see them. The 15 ma'alot olot mitocha le'ezra Yisrael. Okay, now we get to more steps. You can see they have this symbol for steps, right? The yellow, like those yellow and black, like with the black lines, that always symbolizes steps. Well, here it's actually not yellow. It's just, right, you see these rounded steps that go before Shaar Nikanor. Okay, those are the 15 steps. They're the most famous. You'll see why. So they go to Ezra Yisrael kineged of ma'alot b'tehilim because of the 15 shirei ha'ma'alot in tehilim shaleihem alevim omrim b'shir. Okay, on the Simcha Beit HaShoeva they would sing the 15 shirei ha'ma'alot, and they did it on these 15 stairs, so you have the symbolism there. Lo yu trutot, they weren't straight. Ela mukafot kechatzi goren agula. Okay, they were half semicircles. Ulishkot ha'yu tachad Ezra Yisrael u'ptuchot le'ezrat ha'nashim. There were these little storage area that was under the Ezrat Yisrael, but had an entrance from the Ezrat Nashim. I don't see that in the picture. Oh, here. You see it on the side. The Lishkat Klei Hashir. You see that? This is under not under the steps, but under the space where the steps were. Right, this is like some people have under their staircase, a storage area. So they had a storage area, right? They made a very good use of their space. They stored all the musical instruments there so that the Leviim, when they would play on the steps, they would be able to have their musical instruments very easily accessible. Now we get into the measurements of the inner area. Okay, we're now getting into what we always call the Azara. Okay, so now the first place you get to is Ezra Yisrael. Hayta orech me'a amah u'shloshim v'chamesh. Okay, so the length, right, that means from north to south, that's going to be the same in all of these. It's 135, just like in the Ezra Nashim. Al rocha v'chatesre. But the other way, you see it's very narrow, it was 11 amot in. V'chein Ezra Tkonim hayta orech me'a amah v'shloshim v'chamesh. Al rochav okay? Also, now what do you mean the Ezrat Kohanim? The whole thing is the Ezrat Kohanim, but what they mean, the Ezrat Kohanim until you get to the Mizbech. Okay, from the Ezrat Kohanim, the entrance area, until you get to the Mizbech, is 11 Amo in. V'rashay paspesim mavdil ben Ezrat Yisrael Ezrat Kohanim. Again, they put some sort of marker in between, okay, these beams. Rav Elezer ben Yaakov omer ma'alaita. No, there wasn't just these markers. There was a bigger distinction. Again, it went up again. Ma'ala, there was a step, there was gavoa ama, it was an amatol, v'haduchan natun aleha, and then they would put this duchan. The duchan was where the levim, the kohanim stood, if you remember when they blessed the people. Uba shalosh ma'alot shal chatzi chatzi ama, nimtzeit ezra kohanim gvoa me'ezrat Yisrael shtei amot v'mechza. So there was one step, and then there were three steps of a duchan. Okay, there's a few different ways of interpreting it, but it seems from here that the three steps made up the duchan. So there was one ama first, and then there were these three steps coming off of it. That was the duchan. So you get to one ama plus each step is one and a half altogether, right? Each step is a half. So you get to 2.5 amot of height. We went up even more. Kol azarai ta orech. If you look at the entire azara, now they're giving you the whole space, was mea v'shmonim v'sheva, aroch of mea v'shloshim v'chamesh. So again, north to south was 135, but east to west went V'yugimel hishtachavayot hayu sham. There were 13 places where people were bowed. We saw that before. If you remember, why did we say? Because kenega the 13 pratzot that the Yevanim did that we fixed. But now Abba Yossi is going to give us a different explanation. Abba Yossi ben Chanan omer, kineged yugimel sha'arim dromiim. Okay, it's kineged the 13 gates that there are. Okay, sorry, kineged yugimel sha'arim, period. Now we're going to go through, what are the 13 sha'arim? Didn't we say there were 7 sha'arim? Now we're going to say there are 13 sha'arim, and that's why we said it was unclear. Does this contradict what we saw before, or maybe they work together, and these other ones that he's mentioning are kind of extras that we didn't mention earlier because they weren't significant. Dromiim smuchim l'ma'arav. Okay, the Dromiim, starting from the west side, Shar Elyon, Shar Adelek, Shar HaBechorot, that's where they would bring the Bechorot into the Beit HaMikdash. Because if you remember, why would they bring them in on the Dromi side? Because the Kodshei Kodshim, like the Korban Ola, Chatat, and Asham, had to be done Shechitatam B'Tzafon. But the Bechorot are Kodshim Kalim, and they could be done, their Shechit could be done in the Darom, so they would bring the Bechorim in through the southern side. Shar HaMayim, again, that was, so now we're going to see again, Lama Nikra Shmo Shar HaMayim, we gave two reasons, Shebo Machnisim Tzluchit Shamayim Shal Nisuach Bachad, that's where they brought the water in, for the Nisuach HaMayim on Sukkot, Rabbi Lezer Ben Yaakov Amer, Bo HaMayim Mefachim Va'atidin Lihiyot Yotzim Mitachat Miftan Abayit, okay, period, that's in the future, in Yechezkel, the water that's going to come out, there's going to be this Mayan that's going to come out of the Beit HaMikdash, it's going to go out that gate. If you go opposite them, parallel to them in this northern side, again, Smuchin l'Ma'arav, we don't have this on our map, Shar Yechonia. Why Yechonia? Because Yechonia went into Galut, if you remember. That was the early Galut of the Judeans. And they went out through that gate, so they called it Shar Yechonia. Shar HaKorban, which is by the Beit HaMoked. Shar HaNashim, Shar HaShir. V'lama nikro Shar Yechonia, Shabo Yasu Yechonia b'Galuto. Bishaba Mizrach, Shar Nikanor, and Shar Nikanor was on the east, Ushne Pishpashina Yulo, Acham Yimneo, Acham Yismalo, Vishnaim B'Ma'arav, Lo Haya Lehem Shem. Okay, so sorry, I should stop before that. So now, if you remember, the Shar Nikanor had these two Pishpashin on the side, okay, these two little entrances on the side, that counts as two more, that's how we get to 13. One on the right, one on the left, and the Shnaim B'Ma'arav, Lo Haya Lehem Shem. There's two gates on the western side. Okay, probably no one used them because who would be on the western side? If you see, it says Shar Katan on this map. Okay, there's these two Shar Katan, and they don't have names. Hadron al-Harabayit. We'll stop here for today. We'll pick up with the third parak tomorrow.